precautions are taken merely to protect us from those who would invade, enslave, exploit, or foment political dissent, and to punish accordingly any who engage in such acts. Look on our new military not as trespassers or interlopers, but as gatekeepers, here to shore up the Emperor's vision of a pacified and prosperous galaxy. The media took to calling it the Tarkin Doctrine, and some commentators began to wonder if he wasn't destined to become the new voice of the Empire. He made it his business to meet with senators representing star systems over which he now had authority. Most seemed relieved about having to answer to him rather than the Emperor or the ruling council, but he made clear to one and all that he wouldn't tolerate acts of sedition or anti-imperial propaganda, and that he would be merciless with all perpetrators. He met, too, with the joint chiefs of the army and the navy, and with the directors and top officers in the intelligence agencies. Through them, he instituted changes at Desolation Station, replacing many key personnel and altering supply schedules and convoy routes. He authorized re-evaluations of every scientist and technician and established new parameters for both secrecy and security. He ordered that no convoys were to move without adequate protection, and to the dismay of countless beings in systems along the supply routes, he limited the holonet to imperial use. The populations of those worlds viewed his actions as the start of an imperial conquest of the Outer Rim. At Geonosis, he enacted procedures that would limit contact between workers, whether contractors, employees, or slaves, and the outside galaxy. Leaves were cancelled, and communications of any sort were strictly monitored. He reinforced Sentinel Base and the marshalling stations, and deployed patrol flotillas to the nearby systems. His most trusted officers were sent in search of pirates and smugglers, with orders to eliminate them on sight. To complement his new station, he designed and had made a grey-green uniform whose thick-belted, round-collared tunic featured four code cylinders and a rank plaque of 12 multicoloured squares, six blue over trios of red and gold. In all dealings with the Emperor, he was referred to as Grand Moff, but for ordinary interactions with military personnel, he retained the honorific Governor. His agenda on Coruscant complete, he travelled from the core to the Greater Sesuena sector aboard the Executrix, which was now his personal vessel.
"The least the Empire can do to compensate you for the loss of the Carrion Spike,"
the Emperor had said on awarding him the Imperial-class Star Destroyer. In addition to the thousands of troops and technicians who staffed and crewed the massive ship, he had a personal bodyguard of 32 stormtroopers who accompanied him wherever he went, or at least when he allowed as much. Arriving by Imperial shuttle at Phelar spaceport, he was greeted by cheering crowds, media representatives, and a military marching band. In Iriadu City, he visited with family and old friends and granted more interviews. The local governor, who happened to be a relative, awarded him the key to the city and held a parade in his honor. While residing at his former home, he sat for a sculptor who had been commissioned to create a statue that would stand in the city's principal public space. He had one last mission to carry out before he left his homeworld, and with some effort he managed to persuade his platoon of personal guards that it was an undertaking he needed to fulfill alone, as it was a kind of personal pilgrimage. The stormtroopers were not pleased, as it was their duty to protect him, but they relented inasmuch as he would be spending his time on ancestral ground. Potential assassins notwithstanding, he made no show of secrecy the morning he left for the plateau. In an old airspeeder that had gone unused for years by anyone residing at the family estate. Once removed from the confines of Iriadu City, he relaxed into the journey, almost as if in an attempt to re-experience the annual trips he had made to the plateau as a youth. He even wore clothes of the sort he would have worn in those days, more suited to a hunter or trekker than to an imperial Grand Moff. When, after several hours of ragged flight, the plateau and surrounding volcanic terrain came into view, He felt as if he had never left. And indeed he hadn't, because he had carried the place within him wherever he had ventured. He had been accused by lovers and others of being heartless, but it wasn't true. It was simply that his heart was here, in this pristine part of his homeworld. His attachment to the place was not as one who worshipped nature, rather as one who had learned to tame it. And he would leave the area unchanged, the animals and riotous growth, as a reminder of the control he exercised over it. He took the airspeeder through several passes over the plateau, observing herds of migrating animals. The day was bright and clear, and he could see in detail everywhere he looked. Ultimately, he landed the antique vehicle on the savannah, close to the hill of boulders he had come to climb. He set out on foot, with the legs of his trousers tucked into his high boots and the sleeves of his lightweight shirt secured at the wrist as protection against swarms of stinging insects. Arrived at the hill, he began to pick his way up over the pitted rocks, leaping over crevasses and finding finger and toe holds as he bouldered to the summit. The hill seemed a lonelier place without its troop of guardian Veermochts, but also a more sacred one, sanctified by what he had accomplished here. He was breathing hard when he reached the top, the hot wind blowing across the rocks and garish light reflecting from the obsidian pool at the base of the spike. He had given thought to scaling the column, but realized now that it was enough simply to stand at its base and savor his recollections. He lingered for hours, as a Veermocht might have, sprawled on the warmed rocks, allowing himself to become nearly dehydrated in the heat. He left as that part of the planet